Hello, hello, and welcome to School Leader Soundbites. I'm your host, Veronica Sofer, and this is the podcast where we talk about all things public education, branding, advertising, public relations, marketing, community engagement, all those things you need to know to be a strong leader who is communicating passionately about their school system. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the difference between traditional media and non-traditional media and what that looks like and the landscape in today's public education space. But before we get started, let's take care of some housekeeping. If you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, drop some comments so I can be sure to circle back with you, say hello, and answer any questions you might have. If you are listening on the podcast, make sure you hit subscribe. I don't want you to miss any episodes of School Leader Soundbites. So let's go ahead and get this episode started. First, let me address the big elephant in the room, and that is what is going on with the traditional journalistic way of doing things when school districts are engaging with reporters. Well, a couple of things have happened that I'd like to draw your attention to and make a distinction about. First of all, we have dissected all the ways we can communicate with media, and one of the fundamental issues that we have is that traditional media doesn't operate the way it used to. So for many of us who started our careers 20 some odd years ago as young educators or young administrators in the public education space, there were dedicated reporters for our local newspapers and television stations who would come out and interview us. And if you're in a small rural community, then your neighborhood newspaper or your community newspaper usually was a weekly or even a bi-weekly publication. So you knew what to expect. You knew what they were going to be asking about, the types of questions they were going to have, whether or not they were going to come to your board meetings, what you could expect. Well, that's all shifted now. So when you think about a traditional newsroom, oftentimes you think of a big Bay Area where people are working in desks that are facing each other, and you've got editors and publishers and glass offices off to the side, and everyone else is in the pool, right? They're all working in this pool space with different assignments. And that is the way it used to be. There was a photographer, there was an editor, there was a writer, there was a fact checker. There were all these different roles in a traditional newspaper or even in a television space that look a whole lot different than what we're doing today. So if you haven't been interviewed recently by a television reporter, I can tell you it looks a little bit different. Now reporters come out, they put their cell phones on tripods. They ask you a series of questions with them off to the side, and they record you, and they go quickly to their car. They chop it up and they upload it immediately to, once it's approved, of course, up to that media outlet's social media channels or their just. Ads. And so we have to be mindful of what's driving that and what's driving their costs. So when you used to expect a reporter to come out with a photographer or a videographer, the videographer would set up, they'd check sound, they'd mic you up. That's not exactly what it looks like today, because that's not how media engages with school districts. So think about when you invite media out, how you can support them in capturing the story that you want them to get. And that's true for newspaper reporters as well. Newspaper reporters used to go through different processes, and now they're having to file more stories, more digitally focused stories, stories that will look really good online and will feed the algorithms a little bit better on social media than not. And your reporter is now oftentimes your photographer as well. So they're out in your campuses, at your events, capturing events, but they're capturing video. They're actually even capturing photos. Some of them are actually creating reels to put on social media, because that's how our consumers have focused their efforts and attention on. Now, what's interesting is that school systems, not all of us have gone the way of social media. Depending on where you're at in the country, that may be not what, that's not trending. Some folks spend a lot of time on TikTok. In some states, like in Texas, it's actually illegal to use TikTok with government funds to promote what's happening in your district. So you've got to be mindful of where people are consuming their information and how you are putting it out there. But if you do have an opportunity to work with some traditional media, find out what it is that they're looking for so that you can cater to their needs and make sure you're giving them the content that they want, which will ultimately build your rapport with that media outlet, build trust with your community because you're showing what's happening in the district. You're pulling the curtain back so that they can get an inside look on what's going on. And you're not just feeding them stories about small little events. You're inviting them in to have conversations about maybe some legal things that are happening. Maybe there's some controversy in your community about zoning or maybe boundaries being moved. And so you want to make sure the media has access to some of those things. And the best way to do that is to invite them in. Now, I want to make a distinction between traditional and non-traditional media. And so when we use the term non-traditional media, we're talking about bloggers, influencers. We're talking about people who are running for-profit digital platforms that are sharing information that's not neutral. Those people who are doing that work are not held to the same ethical standards that traditional journalists are. So just remember that they're not about that. They didn't take those courses. They are not trained in that space, and it's not part of their profession. Now, they may personally declare that for themselves and their entity, but that's not something that you see standardized across the board. And at the end of the day, you have to engage with those folks because they're feeding the information vacuum that your community often has. And that's what I see. So when I talk to school leaders about messaging and how to get their message across, I remind them that yes, a traditional communication strategy is going to be really helpful, but you also need to develop a communication strategy for those non-traditional media. That includes podcasters, YouTubers, PACs. We even have PACs, political action committees, who are creating digital content and calling themselves a news outlet, but it is clearly one-sided. They are only taking ads from businesses that support their political leanings, and they are only doing stories in a way that supports their political leanings as well. So be mindful of that. Note when they reach out and they request an interview that you don't have to give it. Now, it may be in your best interest to give it, and that's something you probably need to talk to your strategist about, because it actually might be an opening to share some critical information that might be driving a conversation that's happening in your community. So I don't tell people just to assume that it's a no-go and to deny all of those interviews, because in a lot of ways, depending on the circumstance, it could benefit you and what it is that you're trying to do. And it's important to know what your community values. It's important to know what it is they're thinking about so you can forecast ahead. And one of the best ways to do that is with surveys and with monitoring what people are talking about, which is probably a really good time for me to take a little break and share with you a little bit about our official podcast sponsor, K-12 Insight. They have a great line of tools that help with climate surveys, culture surveys, internal surveys, external surveys. If you're looking for a two-way communication platform, I highly recommend you check them out. They do a wonderful job, and they've got a variety of products that will support that type of information that you're looking to get, because you want to make decisions that are based on data and that help you forecast what you need to do to be ahead of some of the narrative that's happening. So be sure to check them out, K-12 Insight. They're my great friends, and let them know Veronica sent you. Just visit them at k12insight.com/SOPHER. All right. So once you get that data and you know exactly what it is people are interested in, what's trending, what words are coming up, maybe fentanyl is a big issue in your community, maybe bullying is a topic that's being talked about heavily, whatever it is, if you can get a sense of what it is, you can go to both traditional media and non-traditional media to start sharing some of your insights and some of the resources that you're using in your district to support what's happening with students. Now, I know not everybody can talk about social emotional learning, depending on where you are in the country and the political state that your district is in. That is a term that is not very welcomed, but that doesn't mean you're not doing the work. We're talking about wraparound services where you're bringing your community in and sharing all the available resources to help with mental health, with different types of addiction, or different types of challenges that you're experiencing. I will tell you, in working with a very urban district recently who has who's almost right dead center in this corridor of sex trafficking, having some of those conversations with families where there's a language barrier can be very difficult, or a cultural barrier. And so making sure that you tap into those non-traditional media outlets like influencers and podcasters and bloggers who are in your area and who might have access to that group, especially if there is a language barrier. That's when you tap into the pre-K. Can. And traditional media is a great way to do it. It's earned media. It's something that you strive to get as often as you can by nurturing relationships. It's a give and take relationship. And as you are entering into this emerging space of non-traditional media, I encourage you to invite them in as well and find the right place for them, because they can bring value and they can help you certainly address some of the things that are happening in your districts. Of course, if you need help with any of that or need some other ideas, make sure to connect with me. You can find me at veronicavsofer.com. You can always shoot me a message, or you can just drop some comments here. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this episode of School Leader Soundbites. As always, I invite you to hit subscribe. I don't want you to miss any episode where I work really hard to make sure that I'm bringing you some value and usable tips. If you found it helpful, make sure you share this podcast or this episode with some of your colleagues so we can all learn and grow together. So with that, I'm going to end this episode, and we'll see you next time.